it's good that you test processes. In my confused state, I couldn't find the slip that I had to collect my PVC. I wanted to collect it yesterday.
Okay.
And so somebody said, go to the website. And I did in less than a minute. I got the document I needed. So don't be discouraged. I don't be like me, who always thinks everything in government might not work. It worked like magic. Just went to something, voters, something INEC.org. Touch wood, as soon as I, once you know your name, because some of you don't know your name, you know. Once you know your name, and you put it in, and your date of birth, well, you better be sure which one.
Exactly.
Don't put
exactly.
It depends on the one you put, whether you put your real date of birth or the one you used to get employment. Mm-hmm.
They understand.
Yeah.
So be sure of which one now.
Be sure of which one, but honestly, the process is seamless. It is seamless. So the next challenge now is to go and fight my way through at my polling booth.
Mm.
That previously, I must get them tomorrow. Mm. No way.
That's good. That's awesome. So welcome to the show. You can watch us live on Facebook. We are live. I can see us right now on Facebook. You can also watch us on YouTube. We're live there as well. I can see us. So please join. And let's hear your thoughts on this headline that we have for you this morning. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Dimitris. Good morning.
Let's start with the Punch newspaper. Page 8 of the Punch has a story here. Akeredolu recovering from health challenges, says aide.
It's a challenge for some of us who are quite close to Akeredolu. You know, we were classmates. And I tell you this, the bonding you have as classmates never disappears. I haven't seen Akeredolu physically now for maybe over 10 years or more. Last time we spoke was with the primaries that produced Buhari the first time. But that bond is still there. I mean, so we can't run away from these things now because they are public. And you also can't run away from the fact that the wife made a video. You know, initially I said I would sit back, but I said to myself, you owe your friend some acknowledgement that you saw this and you did something. Akeredolu is not well, like Oji Kalu said, once you're over 40, you have one challenge or the other. Mm. You don't want to know how many challenges I have sitting down here. Mm. But like Yorubas will say, Momo Warami, I know my measure. These are the things I can do. Well, Akeredolu is ill, it's visible, he's ill, he's lost weight and everything. And I plead that all of us should just sit back and pray for him, pray for his health, and not use it as an opportunity for brickbatting and all kinds of things. By the way, Akeredolu is the governor of Ondo State, in case people don't know. Some people don't know. And his wife made a video that I cannot pretend that I didn't see because it's gone so viral. I must have had about 12 to 15 different, in the last 2 days of these videos of his wife making some comments about some lady and so on and so forth. Since I don't know the wife, never met her, don't have her number, whatever, if she's not listening, somebody pass a message on to her that those of us who are friends of Akiti would plead with her to please just concentrate on letting this man get well. It is not a matter of life and death for Akiti to be governor. For a lot of us, he's a made man. He was already a senior advocate before he became governor. This governor is just icing on the cake. And he's been governor for how many years now? Six?
Yeah, about.
Six. And I'm sure that there's something in the provision for medical leave and whatever, on and on. But we'd like to plead again with the First Lady. I'd also like to plead with the Ondo people not to take that video to heart, because she's not of the same origin. She's not from Ondo State.
Mm.
So this issue has now become our daughter and so on and so forth, our man and our daughter. I like to say that everybody should put the health of Akiti in the front burner. That is the most important thing for a lot of us.
Mm.
Put his in front. The aide issued a press release, talked about his health and so on and so forth. He skipped the part about the video. There are various ways of doing these things. If I were him, I'd address it frontally once and for all.
Hmm.
So you don't leave it hanging. He could have added a sentence that, yes, we know of a video that's gone viral. We will handle it internally and plead peace with everybody. He shouldn't have ignored it as if it doesn't exist. He's gone all over the world. Okay? So one more time, Akiti, please get well. If I were you, Akiti, I'd take a leave, for about a month or two, just to regain your strength. Whatever it is not a death sentence because he's standing, he's walking, you can see that he's lost weight and everything. And your press secretary or whoever he is should issue a statement addressing it, 2-3 sentences, to quell nerves in the industry. Because this is how crisis starts. It starts from what looks like a small thing, and before you know it, it's full-blown. When you now start talking about, oh, I'm Igbo, I will deal with it, and things like that. Oh, and another video that came, oh, she's our daughter. She's not our, the woman is our daughter. She's not one of us, and so on and so forth. Please, all of you, put Akiti's health in the front burner. The other politics doesn't like you say, not concern me.
Not concern you.
Akiti, get well, okay? Mm-hmm. Hang in there. Well,
let's have the points. Let's go for the Vanguard now. Chatham House, INEC would hold polls despite attacks on facilities. 791 lawsuits.
This Chatham House, how many Nigerians are going to be? Are they actually summoned or invited? Or, you know, I'm not too sure. Somebody called my attention to the fact that I hinted when Asiwaju went to Chatham House that he probably influenced it. That, see, did I also think that Peter Obi influenced it? I liked it. It tickled me, though he said it in a rude manner, as usual. You know, people don't know how the use of words and insults, but that. To be insulted every day is part of this job. So, but once you insult me, that's it. I don't have time for this. But I noted what he said, and I still believe that all this running to Chatham House, it's not going to do even Obi's own. It's not. I don't see the relevance to us. You are not yet the president of the country. You're just a candidate. You can't be summoning all our candidates and INEC and whatever. What is your interest in Nigeria? Nigeria is an independent country. Yes, we have our problems, and we should not only be treated as such, we should be seen to be treated as such. This, you know, mass whatever to Tata Mouse article and that politicians celebrate. I sometimes wonder if they've done real deep thinking and ask what the optics would look like. You know, if I was one candidate, I'm not going to go to any Chatham House. My business is here. With Nigerians in the first instance. If I win, though, then I believe I'd have, if I could go to Chatham House, I could go to the Harvard Institute, because then I'm either the yet to be sworn in president or president. But so the optics I don't particularly like, but INEC chairman again went to Chatham House. At this time, the INEC chairman should have had a media roundtable. All the issues he's gone to talk about in Chatham House, when was the last time he had journalists together and spoke to them and raised these issues? But he talks about, the part that bothers me really is that he talks about his concerns over insecurity. Okay? And so now look at it. It's listed here. He says, lamented that in the Northeast, there's a long-standing Boko Haram, while in the Northwest and the North Central, banditry, terrorism and herder farmer conflicts remain major challenges. That's in the north. In the south-south, the threat of renewed insurgency by groups demanding more share of petroleum revenue to the Niger Delta continues to simmer. I thought that had died down a little bit. I don't think it's a crisis point, but he mentions it. He also says that in the southwest, although an earlier surge by a group demanding independence for the region has considerably dissipated, recent violent attacks on places of worship, rise in the activities of violent cults and kidnapping groups, as well as a history of violence involving groups seeking to control markets and motor parks, remain strong. In the southeast, the lingering agitation for separatism championed by the indigenous people of Biafra poses a major security threat. Not only have violent attacks by a number of armed groups increased, the long-standing weekly lockdown of the five states in that geopolitical zone continues to disrupt social and economic activities. Sherif, thank God that you haven't said that I should be reading the news. It will take what is I'm not that bad now.
You're that bad though.
I'm not that bad. Okay, let me read this one. It'll be smooth.
Please don't read it. Please don't read it.
It says there's no doubt that violence and threat of violence are major challenges to credible election in 2023. And he says that violence makes deployment for elections difficult, particularly when some of the attacks are targeted at the electoral process and participants. A bit of light at the end of the tunnel. It says that the commission has been working with security agencies and other stakeholders to establish, who are other stakeholders? They know themselves. To establish mechanisms to understand, track, and mitigate security challenges. So what is Oga saying here now? These things are not likely to go away in a month. So what are we looking at? I think we should all hold on to our seats and see where all this is going. In all honesty, I think we'd hold on to our seats. And I have a feeling. I don't know. I don't have any proof. But every day I wake up and I'm getting ready to come here, I sometimes laugh at myself that all this analysis you are doing, are you sure there'll be an election? There's that voice. But they say when you hear voices, it could be the beginning of something. No, I'm not Chris. But there's that voice that tells me that, are you sure you are going to have an election? But we'll see how it goes. We will see how it goes.
We'll have an election.
You reckon?
We'll have a very fair, credible
election. We are not talking prophetic now. We are talking hard facts.
We are taking
Sandra's role here
now. We'll have an election.
Hard facts. Mm. Okay.
We'll have an election.
We might not have.
I think we will. I'm very certain we will.
I hope we do. But professionally, I'm beginning to have my doubts.
And there's nothing that points to the fact that there's a possibility.
Are you judging my professional judgment? You're judging the professional judgment of an ancestor? How dare you? Do you know who I am?
Do you know who he is?
Who are you? Who are you, Ray?
What's your name?
Before he said it, he said the two sentences, who are you? Do you know who I am?
Sorry.
I'm telling you, if you don't spice these things with a bit of humor, most of you will be going home, everybody, go to work, everybody, with a headache.
I can imagine, like, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's take this one from Vanguard. Clarify your position on Section 134 of the Constitution. Agbakova tells INEC boss.
It's very important. It's very important. And this Agbakova, they describe him as a chairman of MBA. It's more than that. It's just a well-known voice in activism and in law. And he's an SCN, you know. And he has called on Professor Mahmoud Yakubu to clarify the Commission's position on Section 134 of the Constitution to the public. Because we must know the rules if we are not going to go into a game without knowing the rules. So his demand is actually valid, and I'm going to find a way to drag him down here. And Agbakoba noted that many concerned Nigerians have contacted him in the past days seeking correct interpretation of Section 134 of the Constitution, and said that there's an urgent need for the man to clarify it. He says, I wrote to commend INEC on the great job and so on to ensure free and fair elections, but he's worried. And he said, I reviewed Section 134 carefully, specifically, this lawyer herself, I don't know how this is, this is specifically subsection 1341B and 2B, and wondered if 2/3 of all the states in the federal and the capital Federal Capital Territory Abuja means either of the following. Where's Richard Akinjide? We need him here. That a presidential candidate must score not less than 1/4 of the votes cast at the election in each of at least 2/3 of all the states in the federation, which means 24 states. The 24 states will include the Federal Capital Territory Abuja as a state. Or the other is that, or it should be that a presidential candidate must score not less than 1/4 of the votes cast at the election in each of at least 2/3 of all the states in the federation, which means 24 states. And in addition to meeting the 1/4 requirement in 24 states, a candidate must also win 1/4 of the votes in the FCT. In this sense, a presidential candidate must have 1/4 of the votes cast in the FCT in addition to scoring not less than 1/4 of the votes cast at the election in 24 states. We need to bring our lawyers in.
Yeah, I think that...
I need to put a phone call through to my lawyer.
Yeah.
This is better. It's better we bring in about four lawyers. You know, lawyers can.
You not have a show. You don't have a program.
No, we can, they can double everything. We need to get lawyers fast.
Yeah.
On this, maybe sometime next week. What we can do is we are brothers now, you know, we are born together.
We can
start from eight with one lawyer and proceed.
Another lawyer.
And the second day we start from eight and proceed. So the two difficult will it be called Daily Digest or your own program? You have to agree on the name.
It's good. The two we called what?
Emi Lagbao.
No, wait. Okay, you know, let's do this. Let's retain our names.
No, they must. I'm the eldest. You know, I'm the.
Hey, but they don't know you that you come on the show at 8 a.m.
You did not. They will know by force. Was I the one who named myself an ancestor? No, we work it out. Don't worry, we're just talking. But we work it out because it. You see, why it's good for us to get a bearing on this now?
It's very important, actually.
It's very important. These are will be the basis for litigation after the election. Mm-hmm. You know, and so let's get a clear picture before the match starts.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now let's take this one from Punch that says police presence at Emefiele's Abuja home. Stairs controversy.
Why is this thing so messy?
Police PRO said he has no idea of anything like that.
I don't know what's going on. Also, in another story, I think it's in Sahara Reporters, it was said that, not that I know for sure, but it was said that, the MFLA also, you know, in Nigeria, you can make your own contacts. Mm. If you know a colonel, I know a brigadier. If you know a brigadier, I know a major general. Mm-hmm. That he contacted, who was it that was said was contacted? I can't remember these things. He contacted some top-notch person, and I think it was one of the service chiefs, and they gave him quote-unquote protection. And I looked at the story and I said, if this thing is true, so the protection has been given. If the DSS want to arrest him, should there be a shootout between the two of them?
Yeah, clash.
What kind of country are we running? And this happens. You remember what happened? I think it was Wiki that intervened in the arrest of
some lady.
I went in with his own security detail, and you know, let's have a clear picture. What is the problem with Emefiele? There seems to be one with this. The punch here says that a credible source in the police force told their correspondent that the presence of the policeman was in furtherance to Emefiele's expected appearance. If the man is expected to appear in court on
today,
why would police surround his house? What for?
So that he doesn't go on another vacation.
if he has a doctor's appointment, he has to go. You know, the man says he's facing challenges. He says that, meanwhile, the DSS reportedly grilled CBN deputy governors on Monday in connection with the audit. They did some kind of audit. However, the DSS spokesman, Dr. Peter Afunaya, said that this particular inquiry is very distracting. So he asked the reporter, what are the names of those who are taken away? What was the vehicle number that was used? Sometimes, you know, we can't rely on vehicle numbers for your, you know, that doesn't work out really. But yeah. Meanwhile, the DSS remains, this is his answer. His answer is, it speaks volumes. Because it doesn't answer directly, but it says that the DSS remains professional. We know that, you know, to be honest with you, loads of professional, patriotic people within the DSS, but it's not immune to politics. It's not immune to politics. Focused, and it will always discharge its mandate with utmost due diligence, rule of law, and tenets of democracy. And the DSS spokesperson was yet to respond to a WhatsApp message seeking to confirm the DSS's involvement in the police presence at the CBN's governor's residence as of the time of filing a report. So if the man leaves his house headed for court and he wants to stop by somewhere, what would then happen? They stop him from going?
Most likely.
It's messy. And that's why I hope that our next government would have some sense of coordination so that this embarrassment. I'm not saying to provide shield or cover for anybody,
yeah,
but it will be much. It will be much more in a it'll be in a tidier manner, you know, where maybe the president will be informed, put a call through to this gentleman that, look, there are some questions you need to answer. Could you please drive down there and let this happen with less acrimony and less embarrassment, not just to the government, but even to the people of Nigeria.
Mm.
We need to tidy up these things.
Mm, indeed. Let's go to Daily Trust. Daily Trust is doing this story that concerns Lagos, Etiosa, to be very precise, race to National Assembly, Etiosa, Obanikoro's son, Banky W, set for replay battle.
Yeah, you know, why I'm highlighting this, and I'm look at that, that's in the Trust, the full page. We've concentrated so much on the presidency.
Mm.
A bit of concentration on governorship that we don't seem to be aware of some of the sparks that would take place at the legislative levels elections. And Etiosa is a very, very important constituency.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. List of it being that's where the Jagaban lives. That's an aside. The reports that this is the second time Banky W will be facing Obanikoro. Incidentally, the two of them are my boroughs. So I don't know, and it's my constituency for now. So I don't know which way this is going to swing. But Banky W says that as long as I have been relevant in the art world, music, film, and as a small entrepreneur, I have always been very vocal about the need for good governance. Yes, I've had it on my show, I think, once or twice. And the need for young people to participate in politics. Obanikoro too is young. So young versus young. But about Obanikoro, who is seeking a second term, he says he wants to provide more dividends. I don't like this word, more dividend. There's been no dividend of democracy for the ordinary man. But he says he wants to provide more dividends of democracy. Where did I say that now? He wants to provide more to his constituents. Express optimism that the APC would retain the seat in the Green Chamber based on his performance. I'd like to bring him down, let him come and tell me what performance he's talking about.
Yeah.
With the feedback we are getting from the constituents, my chance is extremely high. I am confident that my constituents are satisfied with my performance so far and also understand the importance of continuity. And the newspaper writes, like I said earlier, Etiosa is a strategic constituency consisting of important areas in Lagos, including Aja, Victoria Island, and Lekki. Okay. In fact, the home of APC presidential candidate Shaju Bola Tinubu on the Highbrown body lawn, and that of his bitter rival and longtime PDP leader in the state, Bode George on Lugard, fall within this constituency. So this is going to be
should be interesting.
It should be interesting. Mm. I wish the two of them good luck. Since I can't vote for two people, I have to vote for one.
Mm.
No guessing who I'm going to vote for.
I was going to ask, if you're presented with, are these the two options that you have?
Well, there are other parties now.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be these two.
It doesn't have to be these two, but the two, they're my bros, so.
You'll most likely vote one of them.
I will vote one of them.
Okay.
Can anybody guess who?
But you're not going to vote.
You see how God intervened?
God.
And I love this one. You see how God intervened? You see, I'm not a man to be treated.
Hey, anyhow. They have come.
The gods have spoken. I don't need to say this.
Oh my word. I mean, look, I think certainly this is going to be, if not the most interesting election year in the history of this country, at least one of the most interesting election years.
Yeah, but it's interesting for the wrong reasons. That's just what hurts me. At the presidential level, even at state level in Lagos here, I can say comfortably that nothing is going to change. I believe that.
Right.
That's my belief. Nobody can fault me for that. They can abuse me all they like. I believe not. You don't know whether I like that or not. I wish we could have change, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I do wish we could have change, but I just taking a sense of it all. It might be a daunting, but then you never know. The presidential election can swing things. But for now, because what you might end up having, why I'm saying that, most importantly, what you might end up having is, you see, all the forces against the APN, I mean, the other APC, I mean, the other parties and so on, they should have put themselves under one umbrella.
Mm.
That's the only way to beat. But they are divided. There's every reason to believe, rightly or wrongly, that a lot of the other people, you know, the other candidates have some kind of interest in the APC, with none exempted.
Mm. I know some parties have already started closing ranks. PRP has moved in to join AAC, I think. Other parties too.
It's late in the day. You should have come and come with one credible leader. But we don't seem to have that.
Mm.
There are one or two candidates whose profile you can ride on, you know, to defeat the APC in Lagos, on the understanding that all of you would go under that umbrella.
Mm.
But that particular candidate is the least visible.
Oh, okay.
So
we have to go now. We have to go. We must go. Thank you so much for coming on. Oh, yes. Today is Debumi at 9.
And Mrs. Fashanu is the one who is
coming. Oh, fantastic. That should be really interesting. Mm. Let's take the news now. Thank you all for joining us.
Rishi, where's your sister?
She's in the bedroom.
We are...
And I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, get fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.